Want entertainment designed just for you? Then check out customizable streaming TV from Xfinity. It makes your life simple, easy, awesome.
Xfinity gives you customizable streaming TV options. Enjoy the most free shows anywhere on any device, and even access your streaming apps right on your TV with X1. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today to learn more. Restrictions apply.
Hey guys, it's Keith.
And this is Jesse.
From New Player Has Joined.
Guys, if you're familiar with Banter, the comedy app that lets you in on conversations between hilarious comedians, the people who made Banter have now made the Banter Minute. If you're a true crime fan, go to banterminute.com/truecrime, and you'll get a one-minute rundown of some cool and interesting true crime stuff every day.
I mean, the East Side Strangler just got caught. You want to know that immediately.
If you're a person who likes murder.
I love murder.
So guys, banterminute.com/truecrime. Just go there, subscribe. You'll get a one-minute quick rundown that'll make your day a lot better. Check it out, guys. banterminute.com/truecrime.
Welcome back, everybody, to Weird Adults. It's me, your host, Esther. Today's guest isn't really a guest. It's more of like a co-commenter or...
Co-commenter, I think, is the popular term. Friend of the show. Can I just be that?
No, it's more like you were brought in to just really co-comment.
Oh, expert witness, maybe?
That is potentially what... That wouldn't be your title, but that could be what you feel inside when you're talking.
Okay, good. Okay. Can you introduce me at least then?
So today's guest.
Yeah.
I mean, oh God. I'm today's co-commentator. You know him as a previous friend of the show.
Wow.
What?
Nothing. It's falling apart.
No, it's not.
Okay, sorry.
I thought you were going to call me out because that's what you called yourself, and I said no, but...
I'm ready to move past this. I want to get to the meat of the show already.
Okay.
My name is Dave King, and I'm the co-guest or whatever today, and I'm here with Little Esther.
And you are well known amongst the podcast community as kind of a negative bully.
What? That's not fair.
On The Great Debates.
No, I know what you're referring to. I co-host a podcast called The Great Debates, in which I argue the great issues of the day with my friend Steve Healy. And I am often the more sort of pessimistic, or I usually take the con when we argue issues of the day. So that's why you're calling me a negative bully.
Yes.
But I would never condone bullying or even negativity. And I don't think of myself as a bully. I think... At my core, I'm a very kind, sweet man.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm glad that we had this conversation.
Same. That's not what we're here to talk about, though.
No, not necessarily. But I will say that just to give your podcast a beat here,
okay.
I recently saw a friend of mine post a screen cap of like the title of one of your episodes, and it was Hot Tubs Are Gross.
Hot Tubs Are Gross.
And right. I was like, oh, that's a good argument that I wanted to listen to.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm interested. Do you want to give a sneak peek of that one or?
Well, that one ended up getting pretty blue pretty quickly, unfortunately.
Oh. Well, then no.
But I took the con, I think.
If you take the con on hot tubs are gross, does that mean that you think hot tubs are not gross?
Well, it's not that I think hot tubs are not gross. It's that I'm tasked with arguing that hot tubs are not gross. You have to understand, Esther, as I've thought I'd explain to you in the past, that the opinions expressed by the debaters are not necessarily the opinions held by the debaters.
Okay.
So we're often arguing things that we don't believe. That's kind of when we're at our best. And I actually think that that's one of the benefits of the show, is that you end up understanding, maybe not totally, but a little bit better, other people's viewpoints.
Yeah.
When you have to argue something that you don't believe in, that's when you are often, your mind is the most open, or when you are able to, you know, sort of learn a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
or see someone else's viewpoint.
Well, I'm all about learning other people's viewpoints, so I do respect that.
Oh, wow. So, so civil.
So, okay, so that's you. That's your thing. Well, we got over that.
It's not my only thing, but sure.
Yeah, and you are a...
It doesn't matter. Okay. I'm a writer, and I'm a guest. I'm a co-commentator, and there's someone else in the studio today.
There is someone in the studio today. There's... Oh, she just made herself heard. Donut the dog. Donut is the cutest dog in the world, and she has her own Instagram account. It's Donut in the City, if you want to see and learn more from Donut. That was the daily commercial for Donut's Instagram.
And it is worth pointing out that she is a soft baby girl today, because she did just have a bath and she is delicious and soft and her hair is extra long.
Yes. Great. Moving on.
What did you want to talk about today?
So what I wanted to talk about today was a big thing that I tried yesterday. It's actually makes me so nervous that I don't even feel comfortable talking
so
about
strange.
It.
Strange. Are you serious right now?
A little bit. Maybe you should lead the path.
You want me to lead the path? Okay, here's what happened. Esther and I, who are partners in life, is it okay to say?
Oh my God.
I just want to give some context to why we did this together.
I don't think it needs context.
Sorry,
but...
I'm sorry. Esther and I, who know each other, we're acquaintances, and we decided that a fun thing to do together... Actually, Esther got me a birthday present.
You're already like ruining it. Like all of this is unnecessary. All you need to say is we both went to and tried blank. Like, it's crazy all this backstory you're giving that nobody needs or gives a shit about.
You wanted me to lead the path. I chose to lead it in a certain way.
You chose so poorly. I fucking trusted you. Okay, pick it up.
Esther and I both decided to try a sensory deprivation tank.
That's right.
So we went
also known as a float tank, an isolation tank.
Are those the same thing? The isolation tank is the same?
I think it's all different kinds of names for what this is. It was made popular, I believe, by Joe Rogan in his podcast. He has
among
one
others,
in his
but yeah, he's sort of the main voice of...
He has it in his house. I don't know exactly what he says about it other than he talks about it and loves doing it.
Yes, he's evangelical about deprivation,
yes,
so to speak. So should we say the place we went to? Is that okay? Or does that not matter?
I don't think it matters. They have these places all over the town.
Right. So you go, you go to a place. It's basically like a spa and you go and they tell you what to do and everything. You and I had very different experiences.
Yeah.
That's the main point here, right?
And I don't feel particularly inclined to shout them out as I didn't love my experience, but look, it's fine. I'm just explaining why.
Okay.
But. Okay.
Okay, so I led us down the path. What is the next part of the experience that you want to address?
Well, I
think we need to tell people a little bit about like what happens.
Okay.
The basic thing is
you
there's a little bit of preparation. You go in, you disrobe, you take a shower, and then the sensory deprivation tank is a roughly 10 by 8 room that is filled with about 6 inches of very salty water.
I would say a foot of water.
Okay, thank you. Great correction. About a foot of water that is so salty.
It's soaked with Epsom salt.
Epsom. I think you were right. So it's incredibly buoyant.
The first time, so
it's
I was
very
wrong.
Buoyant, and so you're able
to
float.
Okay, well, I just want to say that my vocabulary isn't truly as fulfilled as yours, and so buoyant, like, that's not really a word we use on this show.
I can't say the word buoyant.
No, that word does not work on this show.
It is, the water is much floatier than your standard bath water. You can float in it effort.
Let's just take word of the day. What did you mean when you said it's buoyant?
It's
you mean that
to
you
float,
float. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, I think I maybe did misuse it because really your body becomes more buoyant.
Oh, snap.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if that's a correct
use
of the word.
Again, that's why that word is not safe for this show. Keep going.
Okay, so basically, what happens is when you go in the tank, you're totally 100% nude, and there's a little bit of
100%
nude. I thought that'd be a funny phrase. Look, you go in, you lie down, and at the beginning, there's gentle music playing and lights on. And the idea is that you're supposed to breathe and relax, and eventually the lights and the music fades away, and it is pitch black.
Yeah, also, you're forgetting that you've just locked yourself in a tiny room.
Haven't locked yourself in, you can leave at any time.
Yes, the door to when you walk in, there's a little shower and then there's the tank.
Yeah.
And you locked yourself in. So let's say you have an emergency and you drown. No one can even get in to save you.
Right.
As you can see, we both had very different experiences.
Yeah, that never occurred to me. It is almost impossible for a grown person to drown in that water. Also, like, if someone needed to knock the door down, I'm sure they could. It's not like it's an industrial strength lock. Also, you could have left your door unlocked.
Yeah, no, I should have.
But the idea of what happens is that it's like the room is at body temperature, as is the water, I believe. And eventually what happens is you are supposed to feel absolutely nothing. You see nothing. You smell a little bit of the Epsom salt, but you feel as if you're supposed to feel like you're kind of floating in space.
So you're basically supposed to die.
No, Esther, you're supposed
feel
to
nothing.
Live. You're supposed to live.
No.
For the first time ever. It's sensory deprivation. So all of your senses become sort of absent. There's nothing really to touch or to see or to feel. So you're left alone with your thoughts, but it is, if you can get there, as I feel like I did, it's kind of a trip. It's amazing.
Like a drug trip. Like you got high.
I would say that
you had high vibes.
I did have high vibes. Absolutely. But I would argue, and not to put too fine upon, not to put too fine.
Oh my God.
I would argue that it was more like I went on a drug trip than I got high. Now, I know you as someone who has no experience with drugs.
No idea what you could mean by that.
Basically, what I'm saying is it felt more like, and I don't have a ton of experience here, but it did feel more like taking mushrooms than it did smoking weed.
Okay, well, again, now you have like totally disrespected the show.
No, not at all.
Those are two things that that's not in our vocabulary here.
Well, Esther, why not?
Well, here's the thing. If you were a regular guest, you could come on the show and you could say
anything. I've been on the show before.
No. You could say any big words you wanted to. You could say anything about your own personal experiences, your drug trips and all that. But because here's the thing, the fine print you didn't read is that this is a solo episode. So you are working within the confines of the solo episode, and you're using big words that we don't use on solo episodes. You're talking about like illegal activity.
Well, actually, for the record, I don't want to get too into it, but let's say most of the times that I've taken mushrooms, it was a legal experience.
A legal or
yes,
illegal? That was confusing.
Legal experience.
So it was illegal.
It was in places where mushrooms are legal.
Where is that?
Amsterdam and Vancouver.
So you're an international criminal.
I'm an international criminal mastermind is what I'm trying to say. I love, by the way, that
honestly, I am too, but not in that way.
I'm sure. Your objections to my job so far, you're like, this is a solo episode and you're not doing this right. And your objections aren't that I've been talking most of the time. Instead, I'm using big words.
Yeah.
Or trying to like actually relate this experience to something that the listeners might have actual experience with.
Okay, I guess that's fair, but like I said, you're now talking in ways that I don't understand, and now I feel alienated.
Well, that's what this is about.
So, anyways, look, I want to let's just put a pin. We move forward. Okay. Here's the deal.
Yes.
I did not have that experience, as you may have guessed. I went into this tank. I was so curious what it would feel like to get in water and float. So I achieved my goal of that day. Like, I wanted to know what this felt like.
That's crazy.
So I got it. Why? Did you know previously what it would feel like?
No, but that your goal was to see what it felt like?
Yeah. It's people talk about it and I was curious. And so I got in and...
What a weak goal.
It is weird. Like, you do just float. Like, I almost didn't believe it. Right. You know, it was like a magic trick. You got to see it for yourself.
I think it's worth describing what your mindset was before you got in, though, a little bit. I mean, you've sort of tapped into it already, but...
Well, I get anxious about trying new things. Water, I have a bad history with water.
Right.
I can't swim. Growing up, I always had, like, ear surgery, so I couldn't get my hair, or like, under my... I couldn't get my head underwater because of my ears. So water is just, like, not a place for me to feel safe and secure. So the idea that I'm supposed to lay in water and, like... And disappear.
Just to, right. And just to help paint the picture, when you're lying on your back, your head is submerged, sort of, you're including your ears. So your ears are underwater, which is uncomfortable.
But you do have earplugs, which helps.
I didn't use earplugs.
Are you... wait, what?
No. No way was I going to use earplugs.
Why?
I don't need them. That's crazy. I want anything in there that was going to disrupt, like, that was going to separate me.
You had the water in your ear the whole time?
Yeah.
That's insane.
That's how you're supposed to do it. They said in the video, if you need to use earplugs, we provide earplugs. But if you don't, then you're fine.
That's crazy, because I got in and I actually forgot the earplugs. And then I laid in and was like, I can't get my ears. And then I had to, like, get out and get the earplugs in.
Why can't you get your ears wet? Like, you take a shower all the time. You get water
That's
in your ears.
That's not submerging
you. No, but are you saying for... like psychological reasons or for hygienic reasons you didn't want to get your ears wet?
Oh, I neither. It's like,
yeah,
okay. It just, to me, it does, the concept of submerging your ears in water, it doesn't make sense. Like, I feel like you would almost like your ears would drown.
It is almost like your ears would drown, and yet, like, that is impossible.
Like, you wouldn't submerge your nose in your mouth, but your ears, right, are all connected. They all see the same doctor.
That's one way of thinking about it.
So
another way of thinking about it is that your ears are not a breathing hole.
Right.
I mean, I have to say that I enjoy the sensation of my ears
drowning
being underwater.
Your ears.
Well, because especially for this practice, I felt like you may not be familiar with this phenomenon, but like when your ears, if you're in your bathtub, for example, and you lay back and your ears are underwater and you just breathe, like your breathing becomes louder. Like you can hear what's going on in your, like,
oh, weird,
in your, like, nasal passages in your throat. But it just somehow seems, ooh, like it's more connected.
I'm curious.
And louder. And I felt like that helped me get in tune with my breathing. Really, what you're supposed to do in there is focus on your breathing in,
right,
a meditative way.
Which I feel like, to me, that's the worst instructions you could possibly give me. Focus on your breathing is almost like, you must be tired, go to bed. It's like the biggest fuck you someone could say. It's like, just focus on your breathing. Everything is fine. It's like, no, I can't just focus on my breathing. Like, I'm trying to live.
Whoa.
Like, to me, that's
the whole point, though, is that you got to get there. What you don't realize is that if you did focus on your breathing, you might be living better than you ever had.
And here's the thing. I can hear you say that, and I agree, and I understand.
By the way, Donut jumped into my arms, and I accidentally kissed the microphone instead of kissing Donut's head, because I was holding one in one hand.
Lucky, that's why you can only do one task at a time.
I love you, Donut.
Hey, Weird Adults. Today's episode is brought to you by Audible.com. Audible has the best audiobook performances, the largest library, and the most exclusive content, and you'll feel something when you listen. Learn more at audible.com/weirdadults, where you can get 30 days free and one free audiobook. It's awesome, and just so you know, I'm right now reading Missoula. I think it's a must read, and it's super easy to digest if you're listening to it on Audible. I'm also highly, highly, extremely, beyond above recommend you read or listen to on Audible, So You've Been Publicly Shamed by John Ronson. If you are of the now, if you are living in the time that we're living, which I hope you are if you're listening to this. If not, please seek medical attention because you are in fact dead. But if you are living, you have to read So You've Been Publicly Shamed by John Ronson, and you can get it for free by going to audible.com/weirdadults. This book is such a necessary read because it's so relevant to the times we're living in, and I just think it's awesome. All right, guys, check it out, audible.com/weirdadults. Okay, we gotta stay focused, okay?
Sorry.
This is a professional show.
I know, but Tona's here. She's so soft today.
You're making me lose my train of thought.
Okay, you were talking about people telling you to focus on your breathing.
No, it was something after that. I don't remember now.
You were saying that you can hear me saying that,
yes,
that if you focus on your breathing, you would live,
yes,
better than you ever have. But
I... doesn't mean that I can do it.
It's very difficult.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I hear people who believe in God and I'm like, yeah, that's good. But I doesn't mean I can get there.
I kind of see the relationship, but this is, it's something that. What?
I am a scientist.
I'm not a science man.
What?
I'm a science man.
What is that? Is that a quote from a movie I've never seen that we all know I haven't seen it?
No, it's Jay-Z, I think.
Oh.
Said I'm not a businessman. I'm a business man.
Oh, that's clever.
It's fine.
Well, I'm a science then.
That's why I adapted it for your purposes.
Look, as you know, I identify as a scientist, so I can't just snap into believing in God or believing in deep breaths.
Oh, sure. But I mean, just to chase this a little bit further, the practice of not necessarily sensory deprivation, but the practice of meditation by way of focusing on one's breathing,
mm-hmm,
is one of the few sort of arenas of philosophy or thinking or one of the few disciplines where the sort of new agey, ridiculous, if you will, sort of like, you know, crystals and that kind of, where those people actually line up with the neuroscientists, mm-hmm, and the biologists. We have, you know, there's sort of like both the teachings of Buddha and the most current, like,
right,
up-to-date studies of the mind tell us that there's great benefit in doing nothing but thinking about one's breathing.
Okay, and can I tell you exactly,
yes,
what you just said? That is why I'm even going so far as to have these conversations.
Well, it's very big of you. I'd like to say.
Because just last night, I was looking at, like, some Goop crap, which I hate to give them a shout out. You know,
no, you gotta shout it out.
Don't give them.
You gotta shout
it out.
Don't
go. But like, it was something like that where they do crystals, and I'm just like, this crystal stuff is we've gone too far.
Yeah,
like,
maybe.
Come on, like, healing powers.
Yeah.
Like, try and think of what the crazy people before us did and how we look at and laugh at that. I don't know whether it's like believing in Greek god stories and stuff, but like, thinking that crystal, I'm trying to think of the right example of like what people in the olden times
did. Leeches and that kind of thing. But I mean, there's a good, I think the, you know, there's, it's almost just as likely that we'll look at modern medicine 200 years from now, our meaning contemporary medicine. We're going to look back at chemotherapy and laugh.
Well, yeah, but well,
maybe just as much as we laugh at crystals. And by we, I mean the people of like 2200.
Right. But chemotherapy is a weird example because it's like, I kind of don't understand what it is. Mm. And like, I think there's like certain people that say that it's evil and certain people say
Who
that
says it's evil.
Oh, Dave, where have you been?
All right. I think I
had a very interesting conversation with a movie star about this.
By the way, there's no way this was an actual movie star. Someone who appeared in a movie in like 1981.
I think the right example that I'm looking for is like, I don't know. You know, you haven't seen the full movie, but in Man on the Moon.
I saw the full movie.
You didn't?
Yeah, I finished it.
Oh, you did? Okay,
yeah.
So you know the part where he goes to the different country and they like touch his stomach and they fake pull out the tumor?
And the guy's like squeezing a shrimp to make the blood, yeah.
Yeah, so that to me is like what I see crystals as right now. It's like we're just living in imagination land,
yeah,
and we're pretending that crystals have healing powers. Like, what?
Yeah, I mean, I think
This is more taking a turn of me just like being so...
I do think that...
Being a scientist.
One thing about crystals, and I'm not defending like crystals as healing therapy or whatever, because it's absurd, but I do think that some people who, especially as far as I could tell, like I'm talking about people like in LA and like things I see online of people who have like purchased crystals and stuff, that my best guess or my best defense actually of this like... healing power of crystals is that people are doing it as sort of an overlap of curiosity, entertainment, and medicine. That people are sort of like, I don't think there are many people, let me put it this way, the number of people who like having crystals around is much higher than the number of people who would like put their faith in crystals to heal their lung cancer. Yeah. And I think that once you're using crystals to try to actually cure a disease, that's almost like criminal or something if you're trying to convince someone to do that. Whereas if people buy a pink crystal because they read sort of a half truth about the powers it has and it makes them feel better and there's a placebo effect.
So it's like playing dress up. It's like, because where do you draw the line? Basically, you're saying there's some version of it that's like buying
I'm not for any of it. I draw the line that you shouldn't be buying crystals even if it's like kind of fun.
Right.
But
and why is that?
Because I think that it helped, like, because it is, as you said, like, where do you draw the line? Mm-hmm. If you're at all promoting crystals as a healing power.
Oh, right. That's evil, potentially.
It is potentially evil, or it potentially, like, helps people buy into the idea that crystals might actually cure them of maybe it's the cold, maybe it's pneumonia, maybe it's cancer.
Right. So it's like you're tricking people.
You're, on some level, tricking people. Now, I haven't read up on the science of the placebo effect of crystals or actual effects of crystals. I doubt there is any. So I don't want to say that it's outright, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Like felonious or evil to sell someone crystals in the name of healing.
Well,
why are we talking about crystals? This is the sensory deprivation
episode. I know, but you brought it up and I was just last night thinking about it. But
you brought it up. You were talking about goop.
No, you brought up crystals before that. Trust me, listeners know that you brought it up. Just trust me. The tricky thing here is that crystals... This could be someone's like literal what they view as their religion. And now are we bashing someone's like religious beliefs? I don't know. How do we feel about that?
Oh, I feel fine about that.
Right.
I mean, the same way that like, you know, if someone still believed in Zeus or something, if they still believe that like the Greek gods lived on Mount Olympus, I'd be like, I think we have enough knowledge that we can not necessarily mock this person, but be certain that this person is wrong.
Did you see Hercules?
Hercules?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Oh.
Is that what we're here to talk about?
Oh.
Esther, we're getting off track.
Okay.
You got in the tank. You went back to get your earplugs. You got back in. What happened?
So I turned the lights off and I had a split...
Right, you push a button.
Yeah, I split a split second of extreme panic, like... Oh my God, because you cannot see anything with your eyes open. And so I had to just...
I have to put a finer point on that because for the first time ever that I can recall, there is no difference between having your eyes open and your eyes closed.
Yeah.
And I've never fully had that sensation before.
Yeah. And the second I felt that sensation was panic mode to the extreme. And so I just like calmed myself down by keeping my eyes closed, reaching in. Cause that's the other thing is the button was like not that easy to find. So I had to like, I don't know. Even thinking about this moment, it was very scary. But so I pushed the button, put the lights back on. Then once the lights were on, I was fine. I was just like trying to get comfortable laying in the water. Couldn't really get like at one point my lower back was hurting a little bit. Like, and I was like, well, I'm supposed to be like floating and feeling weightless. Like if I'm feeling pain, then maybe my body just isn't meant to float. This isn't a good position for my specific personal body type. So that crossed my mind. I was, you know, moving my arms around. The air was a little very humid, so like I was having trouble breathing. Basically, I could not get comfortable. And one thing that you read when you read the Yelp reviews and all this research and stuff, not research, but like people's thoughts and feelings on these tanks, like people are always like, I couldn't believe the hour went by. And I remember feeling like it has been 5 minutes and there is no fucking way I'm gonna last this hour. And I gave it my all. Well, I didn't really give it my all, but I tried to get comfortable, and I just was like, this is not for me. I can't do this. I'm not comfortable. I don't want to relax in a isolated tank of water. Like, that doesn't feel like a safe space for me to relax in and like lose control of my body. So I just threw in the towel. I got out and I looked at the clock and I had spent 20 minutes and I was like, okay, I'm just going to chill.
Yeah.
So that's what happened to me. I did not last. I did not like it. And I did not succeed. I failed. But I had my own successes.
You had your own successes.
Yeah.
Which was what? Getting in the tank and feeling it.
Yes. And, you know, maybe just some self-discoveries about how I felt about this experience.
Well, tell us about that. That sounds more interesting than the actual sensations of...
Well,
the water and everything.
I realized that trying new things is a source of anxiety for me because when I was little, a lot of my cousins and my aunts and uncles in Minnesota. Why are you laughing?
It's just funny that we're here. I don't know. I'm sorry.
That they would like all do adventurous stuff like ice fishing and going on the boat and on the lake and... you know, all these sorts of like Minnesota type activities. And I never wanted to participate and I was always scared. And I just feel like that is a strong association I have with trying new things. It's like not wanting to do it, but also feeling like you're the odd one out and not feeling understood. And it just brings up all this like historical hysteria, if you will. Mm. And one specific thing that aligns more with like the adult later half of my life, aligns more with this experience of discovering it, not so much like the childhood stuff, but I know that maybe doesn't make sense, but
keep going. You've lost them already. Just keep going.
Okay,
people at home are going like, wait, she was forced to have a beautiful childhood where people suggested that she go on a lake in Minnesota and she didn't want to do that.
I know.
Oh,
like
heaven forbid her family encouraged her to go on a boat.
I know
in
what
the
it,
summer.
I know what it sounds like, but when you're with people who like, that's what they do and it's all like normal to them and it's all
people
new
who
to you.
Can guide you and help you and tell you that you're safe and everything.
No, it's not like that, David. It's not like hands-on people are tending to. It's like you just get thrown in the mix and you sink or swim. It's not like someone is like holding this baby's hand. No, you don't. That's something you don't understand. Anyway.
Whoa.
And keep in mind, couldn't swim, had all those ear surgeries. Like I was kind of like not fully equipped to handle all these activities anyway. And I never did them, but I was, well, anyways, 5 years ago, my dad came out to visit and we went to Universal Studios and my dad really wanted me to, he did the like log water, you know, it's like a famous ride.
It's flume.
What?
I believe it's a flume, isn't it?
I don't know what that is. That's You're using an unsafe word. So it's, you know, you go with a straight shot down and it's a water ride. So my dad, Jurassic Park, I think themed. So my dad did it. He's like, look, I'm going to do it and then I'll tell you how it is. And he's like, he gets off the ride. He's like, it's not bad at all. It's so great. You're going to love it. And this turns into this like 10-minute conversation of him like convincing me like, you got to do it. And he's just being like, I really don't want to. No. Eventually I start crying hysterically. This is 5 years ago. I'm like 24, 25. And I'm crying. I don't want to do it. And I like had to call my mom and I talked to her about it.
And that's pathetic.
I know. And you look back and you're like, why did I start crying? Because I didn't want to do this ride. And I don't know. But I think it's something connected to how I felt about doing the isolation take. Maybe it's all water related. Maybe that's what it is.
Could be. Could be that those things really bring out the worst of that anxiety, of the being forced to do something anxiety.
Yeah. Now you made me talk about this and I feel like it's boring and whatever.
I made you talk about this?
Yeah, you're like, explain what happened, what your self-discoveries
were. It's your podcast.
Were.
You can do whatever you want. I'm sorry. What?
Ugh. All right. Well, now you guys know that I'm a big fucking scaredy cat and I'm a whatever. I'm glad I shared that, obviously.
I thought that was interesting.
You're the one that said it was boring when I was saying it. You said I lost them.
No, I didn't say that it was boring. What I meant was that I think it's fascinating, but what I meant was that I don't know that people listening, I think it's very Esther that your trauma is related to what most people would identify as like a very pleasant summer experience.
Right, I hear that.
Okay, that's all I would say.
Okay. Hey guys, today's episode of Weird Adults is brought to you by Audible. Audible has the best audiobook performances, the largest library, and the most exclusive content. You will feel something when you listen, and you can learn more at audible.com/weirdadults. Here's the thing. I know that because you're listening to my show, you're amazing. You have a very strong intellectual curiosity, and you like listening. You know, maybe you're not so much of a reader. Maybe you're a little bit of a reader. You want to listen to that book and you want to get smarter and you want to get stronger mentally, which is also known as smarts. So I think that you should go to audible.com/weirdadults because you can start a 30-day trial and your first Audible book is free. And there are so many awesome things that you have to check out there. There's Kevin Hart's new book. There's Missoula. There's So You've Been Publicly Shamed by John Ronson. These are just a few of my faves that you can check out at audible.com/weirdadults. It's time. That's not like their slogan or anything. I just said that because like it's time for you to do that. You get it. Anyways, so that was my experience with this isolation
tank. What do you think would happen if you went back and tried it again?
I think I'd have some reservations.
Mm-hmm.
Not the good kind.
You have to make reservations, the good kind, to go there.
Yes, but I would have the bad kind of reservations. Yeah. And
you know what? I mean, it's not the worst kind of reservations.
What do you mean?
That would be like land that the American government is forced certain people to live on. I'm sorry. That's a terrible joke. I really feel that's not appropriate at all.
No, it's fine.
We got to cut that out.
There's no editing. There's no time for editing for this episode.
Okay.
Are you okay?
I mean, I think that joke is like, I'm on the right side of that joke, I hope.
Okay.
It's a terrible joke.
I don't even understand it, so that's probably makes me the worst of it all.
You don't understand that they're Native American reservations.
Oh, yes. Yeah, okay. Okay. So that was my experience. Oh,
they're bad because the white people, kicked them off their land.
Right.
And made them live on confined areas.
No, I hear you.
Okay. All right. Keep going.
And so I would have reservations, the medium kind. And I don't know. It also made me feel dizzy.
Interesting.
Like maybe my neck didn't like it. I just wouldn't be excited
Ask
to go
neck.
Back. What?
Ask your neck.
I'll ask my neck later. I don't know. I'm not excited about going back, but maybe. And now I think it's only fair for you to share your experience. Because when I was sitting in the lobby waiting for you and you came out, you were a different human.
Yeah.
And one of the first things you said to me, which I found to be hilarious, was, I couldn't believe it was over. I couldn't believe the hour was up.
I could not believe it was over.
And I was like, duh. It was hands in the air like, come on. Like a Jerry Seinfeld moment, like, what are you? I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I had a transformative experience. It did take me a while to lose total awareness of where I was. I was very, like, they tell you to just keep breathing and count back from 100. And I did find that, and if you lose track of where you're at, to go back to 100. And I ultimately found that to be the most helpful advice they gave, because I would start at 100 and then like my toe would bump into the wall, or like I would get a little scratch or something and get distracted, and then I would just reset back to 100.
Why can't you go 1-2 instead of, why can't you go on the way?
That's a good question. There's got to be a reason. I'm serious. There must be a reason why they tell you to do that, because they tell you the same thing like when you're going into surgery or something, to like count back from 10 or 20. Maybe it's because,
oh my God, maybe that's part of it. Hate going into surgery.
Yeah, no one likes that experience, generally speaking. But I wonder.
But do you have traumatic memories of it?
I do, yeah.
Like going under?
Yes. I once had general anesthesia, and the last thing I heard was a nurse saying, check his heartbeat, check his heartbeat. That totally true story. But can I have a guess as to why you count down instead of ahead.
Okay, wait.
Yeah.
Can I just share one?
Okay,
the night before, I watched a 2020 special about a family whose dog they accidentally put under and killed.
Yeah.
And so then the next morning,
You were crying.
No, I was like scared. I just remember, like, it's that vivid memory of like things just get fuzzy and then.
Yeah, it's a scare. Well, that semi-consciousness is a weird place.
Yeah.
That's no fun. Before you get fully become anesthetized.
And arguably similar to the sensation of having to go under in a flotation tank.
I agree with you.
Anyway, you were going to say something. Counting.
Was that? Oh, yeah. I think maybe you count backwards because it requires a little bit more thought than counting forwards.
Yeah.
It's a total hypothesis.
No, that's what I think, because it's like it takes a sec. Like, yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, that's fine.
Right. 199.
You can almost it's a little
do
bit of a,
1, 2, 3. You could almost do that automatically the same way you breathe or something.
Doesn't take you out.
So eventually what happened is, it took some adjusting. They give you a little neck floaty thing, which I went back and forth on using. Eventually, I counted all the way down to zero, and that is when the magic really kicked in. Like, it was truly incredible. And I tried to just continue to focus on my breathing, which is what they tell you to do. But inevitably, like, other thoughts and sensations and, frankly, like, mild hallucinations will come to you. A lot of animal imagery was going on in my brain. I shared with you some of the shapes that kept recurring, sort of like felt like they were in front of me. But I felt very much as if, I mean, to say that I didn't even feel like I was floating in space. I really just felt like you lose total sensation of having a body at some point. That, I think, is what is most amazing.
That is so
crazy. You don't feel like you're... Because your body is not, it's not like you're on a bed. It's, you know, you're really suspended by this heavy water or whatever it is. So you don't feel like, I mean, you kind of feel like you're floating, but really you become alone with your thoughts and your breathing. And it's, I mean, for me, it was really beautiful. And
you kind of sound like a crystal user.
No, I understand that. I know that, I'm sure that, like, because I've heard people talk about sensory deprivation experiences and how they, and, you know, like how it ends up being either trippy or incredible, or, you know, thoughts and revelations come to them. And I understand that, like, outside of the context of the tank or whatever, it's like very hard to translate these things into language that sounds like it makes sense on a Sunday morning, or like if you're listening to this in your car, I get it.
Yeah, it does a little bit like, all
I know,
right.
But, and yet this is what happened. So if I'm going to report the facts, like, yes, at one point I felt like I was a bear and I was breathing in the air the way a bear does.
I mean, that sounds kind of fun.
Yeah, it was great. And then I thought about, you know, sort of like, you know, I thought about like loved ones in my life and try like on every breath, tried to like breathe in the love of people who meant a lot to me. And it was like really cool. I don't care if people are rolling their eyes or whatever. Like, I really felt connected. I felt like stronger and lighter. And I mean, you saw me when I came out of there. I was like, I feel like if I did this every morning, I feel like I could accomplish anything. That's how I felt after it was over. And so basically I was in this, you know, meditative state or whatever, and like just breathing and having these sort of semi-random thoughts, images come to me. And when the lights came on, I thought, or the first I heard the music, and my first thought was like, oh, that sucks that you can hear the music in adjacent tanks. These should be totally soundproof.
Mm-hmm.
And then it got louder and the lights came on and I was like, this has to be a mistake. That wasn't an hour.
This is the craziest thing to me, because it's like,
yeah,
almost,
I know,
hack.
That I know.
This is what you
I
say.
Know. I know it's almost hack. But in my estimation, what I thought happened was it took me about 25 minutes to like get there, and that I had only spent 10 minutes in like a fully breathing place, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that is
and
so
it,
crazy.
I don't know how long it took me to like lose total awareness of my...
You know, I'm almost so, so glad that this happened to you, because I remember thinking there's no way that people could let the hour go by, and like people were making that up or these are crazy people. So it's really helpful for me to have a firsthand account of someone that really had the time to snap by. And
well, I think in some ways it's like, it's interesting because the more, I think part of the challenge for people like you or us, I mean, I can have anxieties about, like, it took me a long time. I don't think it's easy. I think it's a hard thing to fully get yourself there, or, you know what I mean? Or like to totally lose awareness of the water and your body and the walls and all that. But I think part of the challenge is that, like, you have to convince yourself that it is possible. Like the way you're saying, when you hear people talk about this experience, you're like, or just like you, it takes so long to think about it as anything other than a room with four walls and a foot of water. You know what I mean? There's a lot of odd things about it, and it is kind of scary for people like you or people who are claustrophobic or any kind of water trauma. So there is a large hump to get over.
Yeah.
But man, I mean, it was crazy. I've really never experienced anything like it.
Do you think this episode of Weird Adults is in its own way like an episode of The Great Debates because we're talking about one topic and we have different opinions?
In some ways it is, Esther. In some ways.
Wow.
But in other ways, you know, sure. Yeah. But I also think that there's no right answer here. That's sort of the way The Great Debates are too.
Yeah.
You know.
We also tried the Impossible Burger.
Oh, yeah.
Which, if you don't know about the Impossible Burger, So the Impossible Burger is this like social media internet phenom. Is that what you?
I guess. I mean, it's more than that. It's a burger, I think, is the relevant. It's a veggie burger made by Umami Burger, which is a chain.
No, it's not made by...
It's not?
No, that's just a place that carries it.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought it was Umami's own place.
The Impossible Burger is like its own product, so, its own brand. And it's supposed to be this burger that's like the closest thing to meat. It has like a certain molecule that has the flavor
H-E-M-E.
Yeah, it has the flavor of like living things. And so, but it's all
beef
made with like...
particularly.
But it's made with like wheat, potatoes, like...
coconut oil. Yeah. I saw.
And so
it's supposed to bleed the way a hamburger does.
Yes, that was when you hear that it bleeds, you're like, all right, I gotta check this out. So I got it, and I felt like it had that beef like taste,
yeah,
but the texture was not quite there for me, I'm looking for in a burger.
It's tough.
What did you... Now, I'm like a veggie burger person. Like, I can eat veggie burgers.
Yeah.
Like, I love regular burgers, but I eat vegan versions of food all the time, and it's like... it's its own thing that I enjoy. But you are like severely committed to eating... to a life of eating meat, including red meat, which the research shows is very bad for you. Meat rots in your colon for 7 days after you eat it. Anyways, you tried it, and what did you think?
I thought it was very good. I only had a couple bites because you ate it very quickly, and by the time I looked over, you were almost done with it.
Is that necessary?
I do truly love... I mean, I've said this before, and people are grossed out by this, but I used to eat like raw hamburger meat.
Yeah,
as
that's
a child.
Gross, and I don't know why your family let you do that.
Oh, it's perfectly healthy, and if you do with like a pinch of salt, it's delicious. It's it's not any different than steak tartare, and it's amazing. Anyway, I thought it was really good, but I don't know that it would like... if I had a red meat craving, I don't know that it would satisfy that craving for me. It did have a bit of a mealiness or something.
Yeah, the
to
texture.
It. Yeah, it was a little... it wasn't a beef situation, but pretty good. Like, I give it a B+.
Yeah, like it has something that's interesting
it
and
is,
unique and makes it worth trying.
It's better than a veggie burger for sure. I say sensory deprivation A+, Impossible Burger B+. Esther, grades?
Okay, personal grades, and this is very personal. So this is not like for what I think overall from the outside world, if that makes sense.
Mm.
Sensory deprivation tank gets an F.
Wow.
I did not feel good.
I think you get an F, to be honest, in the sensory deprivation tank, or like a D.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Well, you get some credit for effort of going.
That's so why, like, I gave you a D.
Okay. So
Impossible Burger?
Impossible Burger gets like a B minus because it kind of made me feel really bloated after. And I think that's because it's like, why are you laughing at that? Because it's like thick bread mixed with like when the middle is also like kind of a wheat bread product, that's like three layers of just purely bread almost that you're consuming.
Interesting.
And oh wait, you know what I just realized is that I ate the Impossible Burger like an hour after I ate a meal.
Yeah,
you and I was treating it as a snack and as opposed to a meal, so maybe I shouldn't. The fact that my stomach hurt was maybe more on that. I
think this is more detail than the listeners need.
I disagree, but I give it a B minus still because of like the texture, and I want to get it again on an empty stomach.
Okay,
those are the grades. Those are the report cards.
Yeah,
I feel like, was there anything else there was recently that we tried? I guess not.
We'll save it for the next one.
Okay. Well, you guys, thank you so much for tuning in. I'm glad that Weird Adults is back and, dare I say, better than ever. And I will see you guys next time. Thanks for listening.
Feral Audio.
Hey, everybody. This is Kyle, the host of Never Seen It, the podcast where I have comedians rewrite famous movies and TV shows they've never seen, and then we read them in studio. This is a clip from Top Gun, which was rewritten and never seen by comedian Caleb Sinan. I think you're really going to like it. Check it out.
All right. Interior. This movie takes place inside. Interior. The Army. I don't know if that's what
they are. I think Lucas never put a question mark in the
interior
location.
Yeah, it says interior the Army.
I think the Army. Daytime. That's when most of the Army. All right. Tom Cruise walks into a big Army building. There's flags and Army men and manila folders that say top secret on them. It's the goddamn Army, that's for sure. Tom Cruise walks to the Army man break room and kicks in the door. Tom Cruise.
I'm fucking Tom Cruise!
A general with a general hat comes over to Tom Cruise. He's got a cigar in his mouth, and he's a grizzled man. He's been a general for 50 years, and he don't take guff from nobody, especially pretty boys like you.
Look here, I'm a general.
I wouldn't have introduced I wouldn't have made us say what characters we were if I knew the first line everyone had was their name.
I also love that it's the Army. I mean, like, even if you haven't seen the movie, you know it's about planes, right?
Yeah, it's the Air Force for sure.
All right.
Well, I didn't say top Air Force or top plane.
Lead back in.
Call it plane.
Give us it, especially pretty boys.
He's a general for 50 years, and he don't take guff from nobody, especially pretty boys like you.
Look here, I'm a general. I got a cigar, and I'm grizzled. I've been a general for 50 years, and I don't take guff from pretty boys like you.
Wow. I feel like I know a lot about your character already.
Shut up, there's more. And I don't care who the hell you are. This is the Army. You can't say fuck. When you say fuck, we say hell high.
The general and Tom Cruise stare at each other for a beat and then both burst out laughing.
Okay, I think I'm going to like it here.
The general and Tom Cruise do a cool, very loud handshake, and the camera zooms in on their gigantic, veiny biceps.
Welcome to the danger zone, bitch.
All right, exterior. We're outside now. On the beach, daytime. Tom Cruise and Kenny Loggins are walking down the beach. They're shirtless. They got hairy chests. They don't have erections, but everybody else does. Even babies. That's right. These dudes are hot. Anyway, there's a bunch of Army men around.
God.
That's the first time that's ever been appropriate for the directions to say, anyway.
Anyway, there's a bunch of Army men around, and the general's there, too.
Want entertainment designed just for you? Then check out customizable streaming TV from Xfinity. It makes your life simple, easy, awesome.
Xfinity gives you customizable streaming TV options. Enjoy the most free shows anywhere on any device, and even access your streaming apps right on your TV with X1. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today to learn more. Restrictions apply.